setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Coming to you from Nashville, the Music City, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, and how you can get there. In other words, it's all about you, what you were created to do. That's important to us here at the Ken Coleman Show because we believe that every man and woman on the planet was created to fill a unique role. That means you are needed, and that means that you must do it. Somebody out there needs you to be you. So let's get about the business of helping you figure that out. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. 844-747-2577. You can also email the show. Just give us a very specific and brief question. We'll get to your email questions a couple times a week. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Michelle, who's on the line in Jacksonville, Florida. Michelle, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am living the dream. How can I help?
Yeah. So I am sort of in this kind of transitionary period in my life. I've been working as a teacher for the past 8 years. My goal is to stay in the classroom for another 2 years, but then I'm kind of at a loss of what to do after that. I'm not sure if I should pursue higher ed or stay working in the classroom or work in leadership in schools, and I'm just having trouble narrowing down what my next steps should be.
Okay, great. Well, we'll come up with the next steps when we really narrow down what is that next mountain that you want to climb, you know? And so that's what we need to do today. So I think I heard three options. And so one of them was higher ed, one was staying in the classroom, and the other was in a leadership role in the education space. Did I hear you correctly? Okay, let's rank those things just for fun. Let's take all the pressure off. Let's not worry about what it would cost to get there financially, how long it would take, all the limitations that are probably bouncing around in your head. Let's just rank those. If I guaranteed you that you could have any of those three in the transitionary period, which one would you choose as number one? Which one ranks the highest?
I think it would be higher ed, especially if I could teach like writing courses, because that's what I'm really passionate about.
Yay! Listen to how simple that was. You know, that's really the process, Michelle. It's what does your heart long for the most? And if that is the one, and I think it's a clear favorite, I could just hear your whole, because you gave me the why. I was going to ask you why, but you gave me the why. You're just passionate about writing and helping others write and what they might produce from the things that you teach them. Isn't that what gets you fired up about it?
Yeah, it really does.
Okay, so now we focus on what are the next steps. So we know you want to stay in your role for 2 more years, and I love this, Michelle, because this gives you 2 years to prepare, 2 years to possibly begin this next process. So what would it take for you to teach in the higher ed level? Is it, are you going to need another degree, or do you have that qualification already taken care of?
So I have a Master of Fine Arts, and it's based in creative writing. So I know if I had the opportunity, I could probably teach English courses or writing courses. I think I'm having trouble just getting through the door. Like, I've applied to stuff, but nothing has really come of it.
Okay, great.
And networking is definitely not my strong suit.
Well, so. That's okay. That's why I wrote the book, The Proximity Principle. Have you heard about it?
Yes, I've heard of it.
I'm not kidding. I wrote it for people like you who you feel like you're not good at networking and you don't have to be an extrovert to connect. In fact, I would tell you that introverts, I wrote an article on this, that introverts are better connectors. They just do it better. And so the proximity principle is what you need to do. You don't need to apply anymore. Just kind of a cold call application. You need to actually work the proximity principle. Do you have the book, Michelle?
I do not.
All right. I'm going to give it to you today because it's a bestseller because of people like you. I wrote it for
you.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to walk you step by step through the process. But for the listening audience who hasn't read the book or doesn't know about the book, what do you have to do here, Michelle? Well, you're going to start connecting with people who are either the people who make the hiring decisions. Okay. And you're going to look for personal connections to those people. You're not going to email them cold. You're not going to call them and leave a message saying, can I meet with you? You're going to start asking around. Hey, do you know anybody that works at this university? Well, yeah, my mom works over there. Are you kidding me? Does your mom know anybody that works over in the fine arts department? Yeah, she does. That's how you start to figure this out. And so you make the connections. It's like that little game. Have you heard about it? 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
Okay. Same exact process. Now, I'm going to give you a lot more strategy and specific people. There's 5 people and 5 places in the book that you need to actually connect with. But that's the process. And you've got 2 years to do this. So it's no longer, I can't get my foot in the door. It's what's the right way to get in the door? And the right way is to use the proximity principle, which says in order to do what Michelle wants to do, she's got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. Go audit a class, go volunteer, be a free teacher's aide for somebody you'd like to work for. Those are just some examples. Hang on the line, Michelle. I'm going to give you the best-selling book, The Proximity Principle. You can get it wherever books are sold or kencoleman.com. Let's go to Danielle, who's on the line in Denver, Colorado. Danielle, you're on The Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, how can I help?
So I'm looking to move on from my current job, but I'm having trouble finding my calling and could use your insight. Okay. I feel extremely burnt out because I'm not doing meaningful work. Mm-hmm. I have some ideas of what I want to do, but I don't really stay fired up about it.
Okay. Well, this feeling of being burned out, you're not burned out. You're suffering from buildup. And I think the main cause of the buildup is what you just identified, which is there's no connection to your work. So there's, that'll just make you feel worthless, doesn't it? Because your work doesn't matter to you. So then you start to think that you don't matter. Am I right?
Yeah.
So understand what's going on. You're not burned out. That flame burns bright within you. So what do you think you want to do? What is it, that thing that is kind of pulling on your heart?
Well, I have a bachelor's degree in biology. Mm-hmm. So I want to use that in some aspect.
Okay. Well, let's dream for a second. Just let it go. What if I could snap my fingers and give you what you would want to try? Meaning it's risk-free. What would you try? Say
I feel like I like animals, but I can't pinpoint that to a job. Like, okay. I know it's not a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So here's what I want you to do. We're getting ready to go to a break. I'm going to give you some time to think about this because there's so many people out there that need to hear you wrestle this thing through. And I want you to think about this. And then we're going to come back from a commercial. Danielle, don't go anywhere. Stay on the line. And we're going to dive into this question. How do you most want to help animals? What problems do you want to solve for animals? What solutions do you want to provide? And don't get hung up in the job title. You're already thinking, well, I don't know what job that is. Forget the job. What's the function of your work? What are the results of the work that you would be fired up? If you got to do this every day on behalf of animals, what would it be? Think biology, science, solutions. Oh, this is how we do it, folks. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to help Danielle figure out what mountain she wants to climb. This is The Ken Coleman Show. I talk a lot about discovering your talent and passion to find your dream job. And that's exactly what my friends at Burst have done. Hamish was passionate about toothbrushes, and Brittany was a successful entrepreneur. Together, they built a business that has revolutionized oral care. The Burst Sonic Electric Toothbrush is clinically proven to remove up to 10 times more plaque than a manual toothbrush. See what a simple dream can become. Try a Burst brush today for as little as $49.99. So visit burstoralcare.com and check out the incredible deals in their Black Friday sale. Helping you discover what you were created to do and then come up with a plan to make it a reality. This is The Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. Thrilled to have you with us. So before we went to the break, Danielle called in, and Danielle's feeling some buildup. She's not connected to the job that she's in. She knows that biology and animals are some themes that are certainly tugging at her heart, but not quite sure how to figure out what that Mount Everest is. These are the calls that I love. So we're going to go back to Danielle, who's had some time to think. All right, Danielle. So before the break, I had you think about what are the problems for animals, on behalf of animals you want to solve, whether it be scientific in nature, research-based, because of that biology angle that you've kind of mentioned, or what are some solutions? Maybe you're not preventing anything, but you're creating some things that, makes animals or their owners' lives and that whole interaction better. What comes to mind?
Well, I've always been interested in, like, wildlife and endangered species.
Great.
And trying to, like, conservation fields.
Great.
Because I like the advocacy part of it.
Perfect. See how detailed this is? See how detailed this is getting?
Yeah. I mean, specifically, like, I've thought about, like, you know, it always comes down to nonprofit, and I'm kind of worried about the income.
Why, now, let me ask you this. Why does it always come back to nonprofit? Because of the advocacy side of it?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. But where's your biology, that idea come from? Is that research-based? Is it you in a lab in some level? You understand what I'm saying? 'Cause where does that connect? Yeah. How does it connect?
I'm not sure. I do a lot of volunteering with animals right now.
Right. But what I'm saying is that what are you best at doing? Tell me your top 2, 3, 4 skills and talents.
I like writing, but not like scientifically, mm-hmm. ironically.
Okay.
So I like writing.
Well, that's what you like to do. I want to know what you're really good at.
I feel like I am good at writing.
Okay, good.
And coordinating.
Okay. Okay. So here's where you're at. How old are you, Daniel? You're young, correct?
I'm 30.
30. You are very young. Okay. Now, here's the deal. What you've got to do is you've got to let your mind kind of race a little bit. This is back to the daydreaming. There's scientific studies, Danielle, about the power of daydreaming. And you've got to allow some time in your life, not while you're on your current job, because we don't want to get you in trouble. We need that current job, or we need a similar job that doesn't just totally, you know, suck the soul right out of you. But this current day job, until we get to the dream job, is your platform. It's funding your future. But you need to spend some time at nights, weekends, early mornings, daydreaming. What is it that you would really love to do? And we've got to look at what you do best. So the organizing, let's just stay there for a second. You know, on a piece of paper, write all the things that make you good at organizing or coordinating things, making things happen. I think you're limiting yourself by saying that everything I've looked into funnels back down into a nonprofit, whereas the animal world, it can be big, big business. And when you start talking about conservation and wildlife, a lot of those things are heavily, heavily funded. And then what are some other things? Go ahead.
I did think about, like, environmental law. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I kind of worry about that just because, like, it's considered, like, in the public sector, and they don't pay as much as, like, you would think. Like a traditional lawyer.
How much money do you think you need to make? What is your goal, financial goal?
Like $70,000 to $100,000.
Okay. So let's circle that number, and the same exercise that I gave you for the daydreaming, circle that number and say, okay, let me just do some good old fashioned research in the environmental wildlife space. What are roles that pay that range of money? And I think you're going to be surprised that those roles are out there. And then once you see those roles, you match them up with your talent and passion. Do you have the talent to pull these things off? Does the work itself and the results of the work give you joy? And if the answer is yes to some of those, then what's the best way to get there? And you got to use the proximity principle. That's why I wrote the book. You got to get around some people that are in that environmental protection, wildlife, refugee stuff, whatever. Get around some nonprofit, get around some government agencies, some for-profit, and see what it looks like. And say, hey, I'd love to make 70, but what if I made 65? What if I made 60? You know, what are all the opportunities that are out there for you? That's what you've got to look at. And when you begin to do that research and then apply the proximity principle, which says in order to do what you want to do, get around people that are doing it and in places that it's happening, you're going to get clarity. And once you clarify what the work is and that you love it, then you're able to verify it and all those fears go away. You've got a bunch of these limiting beliefs right now. And you need to spend less time worrying about how and why it's all going to happen and learn more about what could happen. That's what you need to be focusing on. And then once we focus in on, this is what I want to do, I know very clearly what I want to do and why I want to do it. That's vision and purpose. Vision is where I want to go. Purpose is why I want to go there. Use the proximity principle. Get around people in your space and start learning more about it. Then you'll see an opportunity begin to present itself, and then another. Let's go to Sam, who's on the line in Johnson Creek, Wisconsin. Sam, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Thanks. How are you doing?
I am living the dream. How can I help?
Hey, so I, a few months ago, passed my CPA exam, and I recently had a job interview for a audit position. And I'm wondering whether or not the position, they said they'd get back to me in about a week or two here, and I was wondering whether or not I should take the position if it's offered to me, if I should keep looking for something else.
Well, I don't know. You got to give me more information so I can help.
So why, I just want to keep my question brief.
No, I love it. So let's look at it. Why wouldn't you say yes? There are some thoughts in your mind about why you would pass on this particular opportunity. Why? Why would you pass on it?
Yeah. So right now, I have all my previous background has been in bookkeeping and tax preparation work, which I actually do like. I actually like preparing tax returns. But something I'd like to get into down the road that I've come across, I think I would really, really enjoy doing, is called forensic accounting. And most people, before they do there's not really any entry-level positions out there for forensic accounting. And before most people get into forensic accounting, they do auditing first. And I've been trying to find audit positions, but everyone I've applied to, they said, your background's in tax, why don't you just do tax? And this one position here it's an auditing position, but it's not necessarily like the standard auditing position. It's working for the government and everything. And I'm just like, I'm just hesitant to take it. I'm just like,
okay.
Ugh.
So you're hesitant to take it because it's for the government, state or local or federal?
State.
Yeah, I get that. I got to tell you, I would never recommend, you know, the first option being any government position. I'm fine with it. If you love the government role and it's in your sweet spot, go for it. So I see this as a 50-50. On one hand, this gets you that auditing experience, and that, you said, tends to help you get into that ultimate role, which is forensic accounting. So there's a pro. Can we say that that's at least a pro for this job?
Yes.
All right. The con is exactly what you're feeling about government work, right?
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah, and the other thing is this, I can honestly say that if I did not ultimately end in forensic accounting, I would not want to stay in the position. I just see this as a means to an end. I don't see this as an end in and of itself.
And I see the same thing. You and I are on the same page. So the question becomes, do you take the bird in the hand, you know, right? The one that's offered to you, that's probably coming your way, and that gets you that auditing experience, and it's a short-term play for you. It's not a long-term play. Or do you say no and wait for another auditing position that's not in the government sector? It's either or right there. That's it. So
yeah.
I don't think it's a bad play for you to take this government job, as long as you know it's a 6-month, 12-month thing max. And the whole while you're looking for another stepping stone. Or is it just better off to wait a little bit longer and wait for a better auditing entry point? Because both of these are entry level, if you think about it, right? You're just getting in the game, correct?
Yeah, and that's part of what's difficult, is because everybody, like everyone who I've talked to so far, like they want experienced auditors, and they look at my background and I'm in tax.
Then so do it. Do it. Let's get it. How old are you?
I'm 23.
Yes, sir. 23 years old? Are you kidding me? Step into the government job, get it, do a great job, get that on your resume, and like I said, you're looking outward for a private sector job. Let's get a couple auditing gigs on the resume. Love that. Take it. Do it. Don't move. More Ken Coleman Show coming right around the corner. Cheering you on as you move towards work that matters. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. Thrilled to have you. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. This is the show. We're going to look at what you do best. That's talent, strengths, skills. And what you love to do most. That's passion. Real passion. Work that matters deeply to you. The results and the work bring you joy. We look at those two key areas and how they intersect. How do you use what you do best to do what you love to do most? That is, in fact, the sweet spot. And within that sweet spot, there are multiple career paths, roles that will bring you meaning. We do it every day, one call at a time. We want to go to Facebook right now. We do social media questions. You can connect with us on social media. Facebook.com/Ken Coleman Show, at Ken Coleman on Instagram, at Ken Coleman on Twitter. We're also on LinkedIn, search Ken Coleman, and the Ken Coleman Show on YouTube. This question comes in from Tiffany on Facebook. She says, I'm 42 years old and I work as a respiratory therapist. I really want to go back to nursing school for better advancement. Do you think I'm too old? No. It's like Tiffany posed this question because she doesn't want to go back to school. She doesn't want to go do that thing that will allow her to be who she wants to be. And she's going, I'm 42 years old. Ken, am I too old? No. Next question, please. No, Tiffany, here's the thing. There is a process of questions, three questions, that will allow you to get a clear plan to attack this, and then it's not so scary because you're scared. You're afraid that you're too old. What are the three questions? This works for Tiffany. This works for everybody when you assess, can I do it? The first question is, what do I need to do? You know you need to go to nursing school. So you got to go get that continuing education. That's what you've got to learn, do. That's question one. Question number two, how much is that going to cost me financially? And that leads to question number three, how long is that going to take me based on my financial reality? Those three questions, what do I need to learn and do? How much is it going to cost? How long is it going to take? The answers to those three simple questions put together the base plan. And now it's not so scary because as human beings, the number one fear we face is the fear of the unknown. If we don't know, it's terrifying. It's like our little kids going, Mom, Dad, come in my room. I heard a sound under the bed. You know there's nothing under the bed. But the kid doesn't know that. And they're terrified. They can't even think straight. So what do? We walk in the room. We turn the light on. We get on our hands and knees. We look under the bed. And we say, Junior, there's no monster under the bed. And the kid looks at us and they go from agony and anguish and anxiety to relief. So that's the same process. And that's why those questions matter. 844-747-2577 is the number to jump in. Ellen's next in Chicago, where we're on with WCGO 1590 AM and 95.9 FM. Ellen, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I am living the dream, Ellen. How can I help?
I started this job back in October, and in February, between February and April, we had a high turnover in our department of nine people, most of them managers. Our department is only about 35 people.
Mm.
And so I got scared, and in April I started looking for a job, and every door was closed. Everything I interviewed for, nothing. I mean, I would get a first interview. Sometimes I'd get all the way through to the final, and they would go as another candidate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now they're switching my shift. I'm going to be on first shift. I've also have a chronic illness, and I'm out of energy to look for another job. I mean, just put it bluntly.
Okay. But so, let's clarify. So you are still at your current job, and they've just changed your shift, but we still have that, and we're low on energy. Is it the chronic illness that's creating this, or is it just, I don't feel like I can get rejected one more time?
I'm not sure.
I am. I'm going to tell you what it is. Let me answer it for you.
I ended up in ER. That's why I was saying that.
I get it. And the physical limitation is real. But the fact of the matter is you're still showing up doing your job, and that opportunity for you to get out of there has been one that has been almost as debilitating, if not more debilitating, than the physical illness. As human beings, we don't like being rejected. I have a question for you. Think back on all of those interviews where the door has shut. How many of those did you have a personal connection in that company that you were interviewing for?
Let me see. I don't think any of them.
I'm not surprised. Here's how you get hired. You get hired by knowing somebody in that company. Now, I'm not saying it's the only way to get hired. It's the best way to get hired. I'll give you an example. At Ramsey Solutions, we'll probably hire 300-400 people a year. And every one of those people knew somebody in this building that referred them, and in many cases went to the hiring manager and said, let me tell you about my friend. They would be a great culture fit. I think they got all the skills necessary. It's a missional fit, and I think you need to interview them. And so I'm going to tell you something that needs to encourage your heart. The physical thing is real. You need to take care of yourself physically, but you need to get back in the game. And the way you're going to apply next time is you are going to work your relationships. In my book, The Proximity Principle, I call it the web of connections. And you think about all the people you know in your close personal network, and you think about people that are acquaintances. So that would be the next level up. And you think of that as a spider web. Think about how many people your close personal network and your acquaintances know. Now, all of a sudden, you may go from a connection to 150 people to a connection to 600 people, or whatever the number is. But Ellen, I walk you through this on my website in our Get Hired guides. I've got three of them. One of them is how to flip the resume. I want you to get that. Madison, let's get that to Ellen. For the rest of you, you can download that for free at kencolman.com. And Ellen, I want you to walk through this starting today. I want you to do what I just told you. Your homework is to create that web of connections. You draw it out on a piece of paper. The second thing I want you to do is you're going to get this resource from us. I want you to restructure your resume the way that I teach. It's a 16-page PDF, free for the rest of you and for Ellen, of course. And it walks you through how and why to flip your resume. And the resume itself, Ellen and the rest of you, is worthless without a relationship. Don't apply for jobs without doing the hard work at times, or at least the diligent work, to turn over rocks, turn them over, and find the connections so that you are getting recommended and referred. Doesn't mean you're going to win every interview. You got to do well in the interview, and that's our second Get Hired guide at kencolman.com, how to win the interview. So let's get her both of those. Quite frankly, just send her all three, for heaven's sakes. Then it's the touch point time on how to follow up. But Ellen, I think you re-up, get the energy back up, take care of yourself physically, and this time I want you to be strategic, and you're going to see better results. Because when you do what I'm talking about, folks, Ellen's going to go interview for jobs where she's been highly recommended, and the person that's doing the interview has a personal connection to the person that recommended Ellen. Now, all of a sudden, before Ellen ever says a word in the interview, when that hiring manager looks at that information and goes, okay, Ellen is coming in next. Oh, Bob told me about Ellen. Bob, who I've known for 10 years, has been a rock star at this company, says that Ellen's a great fit. So now, before Ellen ever says a word, the hiring manager goes, I think Ellen could be a great fit. Let's just see how this goes. Now you go from having to blow them away to you kind of just got to do a decent job in the interview. And when you do that, all of a sudden, the offers start coming. Folks, this is not rocket science, but it is strategic and it is intentional. More Ken Coleman Show coming right up. It's not another political talk show. It's a purposeful talk show. Specifically, we're focused on your purpose. Why were you put on this planet? This is the giant question that every man and woman wrestles with. Why am I here? Let me give you the short answer. Not specific, but true. You're here to serve others. You're here to help others. That's why you're here. And we are here to help you figure out how you were designed so that you can get about helping others. Let's go to Jennifer, who starts us off in Tyler, Texas. Jennifer, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Good afternoon, Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
I am, I'm limited to, I guess I could say I'm passionate about helping others. It's something I feel like I do well. It makes me happy. I love helping people either fulfill a dream or helping them with, you know, some limitations they may have, be successful. However, I have become very limited at what I can do due to legal issues that I've had. I actually am now going to have a felony that's on my record for something that I did that was a huge mistake, but now it's going to really limit me to, I feel like, following my passion.
How specific?
And so I'm just trying to figure out where I can go, you know, and still love what I do and be able to do what I love.
Okay. How specific can you be with this felony? What are we talking about here?
It's a federal felony for fraud.
Okay.
And it's one count. It was a really, really stupid mistake. Mm-hmm. I feel like in all of my jobs that I've been in, this one I had been at for a long time, and it was something I did at the job and was terminated for. So
okay.
I feel like I have really started from the bottom at most places and have worked myself and proved myself.
Yeah.
I've helped a lot of people in the past, and so I'm really just struggling, one, with self-confidence.
Yep.
Just trying to get myself back in that place, knowing it's real hard to realize that it's not the end.
Yeah, I get it. So let's start where we need to start. How long ago was this felony?
About a year and a half. And I'm actually right now still waiting. I'm not completely done. I'm waiting to be sentenced at the moment.
Waiting to be sentenced?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is your lawyer telling you that your range looks like? They have a general idea what the sentencing could look like. Are we talking about jail time?
It'll be prison time. It'll be minimal, though. No more than 9 months.
Okay, great. So you're right on the front edge of this thing, and this is the darkest time you're going to face with this. You do realize that, right?
This year and a half has been the hardest of my life.
Yeah. So here's what's going to happen. You're going to get your sentence, and let's just say it's 9 months. All right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to be fun either, but I think because you know, okay, here's my 9-month sentence, here's where I'm going to be sentenced, it's going to be less agonizing than actually waiting to be sentenced, right? And so you get through it. Now, here's the deal. I want you to be really honest with me right now. Did you lose all of your value to do work that matters, that helps other people, work that you enjoy? Did you lose all that just because of a dumb decision? No.
I know that I haven't, but that's something I've really, and I'm going to counseling and we're really working on that, but that's something I've fought really hard.
I know that, but I just want you to answer the question. Did you lose all of your talents and abilities when you made this decision? Did they go out the window magically?
No.
Of course not.
No. And I have a job now, and I've even progressed in the job I have now.
It's great.
Listen,
you're not a violent criminal. You're not a violent criminal. You made a dumb decision. And for the rest of your life, you need to talk about it, not in a way of shame, but in a, man, I'll tell you what, I made a dumb move. Here's what led me to that dumb move. I got caught. I paid for it. I'm done. I paid my time. See, the law, it's pretty awesome. Once you walk out of that prison or whatever the situation is going to be, some form of detention, the day you walk out of there is the day that you've paid your time. And I know there's going to be some shame to that, but what if you embraced it and said, I'm actually not an evil, degenerate, awful person? What if you realize that all your friends and family are going to go, well, it's a dumb move. Bless her heart. We know why she did it. She knows why she did it. She got punished for it. Now she's moving on. Yeah. Most everybody that loves you and admires you is going to be like, wow, look at her. Look at Jennifer. She totally made something of herself. She took that situation and she said, I am going to make this count. I'm not going to let this painful lesson be the end of my journey. This is one chapter in your book, and a great story always has a part in the story where the hero, or in your case, the heroine of the story, goes through a struggle or a trial, and they may do something bad, but then we turn the page of the next chapter. Why, Jennifer? Tell us why we stay with the story. Why do we keep watching the movie, even when the star of the movie does something dumb? Why do we do it?
Because we know it has a good ending.
Yes, but it's deeper than that. We want it to end well, don't we?
Right, right. And I have an amazing support group.
Great.
Another thing is, while I'm there, they do offer some classes and things like that. I already have a 4-year degree. Do I spend my time in there? I want to make the best of it.
Yes. Let me answer your question. What do you want to do? Just say it. What would you love to do? If I snap my fingers and I give you your dream 5-7 years from now, what are you doing?
Well, I would love to be a teacher.
Boom.
But
boom.
I know that's probably not.
Okay, but wait. You're not allowed to say that. You might not get a job. You might not get a job teaching in a traditional educational system. But what does a teacher do? What does a teacher do? They instruct. What if you became a corporate trainer? What if you instructed in a nonprofit area? Or what if you did some work somewhere else? The traditional government jobs are going to flag you probably, and that's probably going to be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean you can't teach. Doesn't mean you can't instruct. Doesn't mean you can't teach for a private school. You've paid.
And I would love to work for a nonprofit.
All right. So here's the deal. Your homework during this sentencing is to determine, what is it that I really want to do? And what can I do to learn and grow while I'm in this sentence where I can't do much? And when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you got free time, you need to be the greatest student that has ever existed on the planet. You need to read stories about, I'll tell you what I would do if I were you. I'd watch the movie Invictus. Great movie. Great movie. Watch stories about people that are in prison. And what they did during that time. Nelson Mandela is the hero of that movie. It's based on obviously his real life story. Because of apartheid, he's thrown in prison. He doesn't become bitter, he becomes better. He comes out and becomes one of the most respected leaders the world has ever known. That's your goal. To come out of this thing, rise from the ashes like a phoenix. That's what you're supposed to do. And you will. And don't be limited. And by the way, in the future, tell everybody your story. Yeah, I did something stupid. Can you believe that? Spent 9 months in a minimal security prison, but here's where I'm at now, and here's what I learned. I want to tell everybody about it. Everybody I can, so they would learn from me. That's where this story ends. It's a badge of honor, not a mark of shame. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you do matter, and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is The Ken Coleman Show. Press on!
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts, such as the Entree Leadership Podcast with Daniel Tardy.
Hey, this is Daniel Tardy, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast. We believe that small business is the backbone of the American economy. And we also know it can be really hard to win in business. So we're here to help. On the Entree Leadership Podcast, we talk about the practical ways that you can grow yourself, your team, and your profits. Join us every week as we talk to entrepreneurs, CEOs, thought leaders, best-selling authors, and more to help you on the journey of winning at business.
You can start your journey at entreeleadership.com/podcast, or you can search Entree Leadership wherever you listen to podcasts.